Coming to you via the internet and your friends at PipesMagazine.com, it's the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. From Florida, the land of pack your patience and birds that look like crazy chickens on crack. Now, I invite you to sit back, relax, the smoking lamp is lit. Here's your host, Brian Levine.
Welcome to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining weekly pipe smoking broadcast. And I'm your host, Brian Levine, coming to you from Florida. Yeah, land of some weird birds around here. That's all I got to say. All right, and this week in pipe parts, it's seasonal time. We're in spring for most people. And it's time to talk about seasonal tobaccos. And anyway, I'm going to answer two questions that are along the same line that keep coming up. And I'm always happy to talk about them because, you know, seasonal tobaccos. And then my guest is Per Jensen. And Per stayed with us for a couple of days. So we got to record that live right here in my studio here. So it sounds a little different to me, but yeah, I hope it won't sound different to you. Music by request, mailbag, and rant, all that coming up on this week's episode of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. All right, let's get the business out of the way. Remember, you must be of legal smoking age wherever you are in order to listen to this fine show, so that means that my granddaughter cannot listen to the show. She's got to wait a few years. Yeah. New episodes of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show come out every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, and then they're available for downloading and streaming for eternity after that, and repeat streaming and playing after that. Please keep sharing out the Pipes Magazine Radio Show in your pipe groups, in your pipe clubs, on your pipe Zooms, in anywhere there's pipe smokers. Let them know that you're listening to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. And while you're doing that, ratings and reviews are always much appreciated. Got all that out of the way. Yeah. So, all right. So, a couple of days, you know, got to see the granddaughter a couple times this week. So I'm happy. Yep. She's still not doing much. Yeah. She's only 4 weeks old, 4.5 weeks old. So yeah, still not doing much. Can't wait. Can I just admit to you, I cannot wait until she's in that 2-year-old range when I can start buying toys that I want to play with her. And then, as I told my son and his wife, guess what? You're going to need a bigger house just because we're going to start buying stuff. So just warned them. Yeah. Looking forward to that. All right. Let's get the show rolling. So everybody sit back, relax, fire up a bowl. Thank you all for tuning in. And here we go.
Third Floor Men's Clothing. Suits, shoes, ties, trousers, cufflinks. Going up.
I beg your pardon, but on what floor might I find the luxury tobaccos, pipes, and accessories?
Well, I'll tell you, pal, if it's those things you's looking for, you need to visit tinbids.com.
Ah, yes, of course. You mean the pipe collector's auction site, right?
That's right, Mac. You can buy and sell pipes, accessories, and vintage and hard-to-find luxury tobaccos. You know, just like you were saying.
So I can sell my pipes and tobaccos, too? Why, that's just fine.
Yeah, you bet your life, buddy. So, what'll it be?
Can you take me to the floor where the computers are then?
What's a computer? Visit tinbids.com, the pipe collector's auction site, and sign up today.
We have arrived at 155. Missouri Meerschaum Company has been authentically crafting corncob pipes continually for 155 years. To celebrate, we're hosting a 155th anniversary celebration on Saturday, September 28th, 2024. There will be ticketed working plant tours, an exhibit on the corncob pipe industry by Skillet Fork Pipe Museum, a live podcast of the Gray Woody Show, a smoking tent for your enjoyment, and so much more. The 155th anniversary celebration will be held in conjunction with Downtown Washington's Fall Festival of the Arts and Crafts, with food, beverages, live music, and over 100 vendors. Visit our Facebook page at Cool Smoking Pipes for fun event updates and more information. Missouri Meerschaum Company, since 1869.
Hey, And we are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show. Before we get into pipe parts, let me just say I was watching Flat Cap Piper and Lady Fire's coverage of the Chicago Pipe Show on YouTube. And boy, am I glad I... Missouri Meerschaum had brought out some sets that were made with the original bone stems that they found in the warehouse, and they only had a few sets there, and a little FOMO for missing out on those. So anyway, go watch what Flat Cap Piper and Lady Fire did. Great coverage. All right, so I've got two emails, and I'm going to read them, and they both kind of hit along the same topic. But Aaron writes, hello there, love the show. For some of us who are somewhat new pipe smokers, maybe sometime you could discuss the differences between tobaccos that are good for morning or evening. Keep up the great work. Thanks. And sent from my iPhone. Yeah. And then Nick writes, hi, Brian. I've been making my way through your backlog of pipe podcasts ever since I found them last year. When I got into pipe smoking years ago, I was disappointed to find out I missed a heyday of pipe and tobacco magazines. So it was a pleasant surprise to see there were some really great pipe podcasts. So far, I think my favorite ones have been featuring Jeremy Reeves and Mike McNeil. I absolutely love the insights into blends that you and those two have to share. With that in mind, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your seasonal smoking habits, specifically about your vapors. I've heard you mention on your podcast that you have heavier Virginia Periques blends, and that got me wondering what you consider lighter Virginia Periques, heavier Virginia Periques, and why. I'd love to hear about the ones that are still in production. Tragically, I missed the days of McClellan, even though at the same time I started smoking a pipe, they were still in business. I only tried a few Frog Morton blends before I dropped piping several years ago. When I picked it back up, I got the bad news. I wish I'd gotten some Christmas cheer I'd seen on shelves at my local NC, but I literally remember thinking at the time that they'd be around forever and there was no rush. Lesson learned. I guess what got me thinking about this was that when I got back into pipe smoking, I tried a Scudo and didn't have a great experience. And then I recently got a few tins of Carolina Red Flake with Perique, and it was a complete revelation. Now I'm looking to key in on a few distinct Virginia Perique blends for cellaring. Anything you can share would be greatly appreciated. So we got two emails, similar idea. All right, so seasonal. Here's what happens, and I don't have any scientific backup for this, but I am a doctor of pipes and I'm the leading expert on my own opinion. So here you go. Seasonally, what happens is as the weather gets warmer and as your blood starts to thin out when it gets warm, I think the nicotine becomes a little more intense. So you want a little bit lower nicotine, a little lower strength of tobacco. As the weather gets warmer, you're less tolerant to some of the more intense tobaccos because it's just warmer outside and your metabolism is moving faster. So my tradition has been the warm summer months, I start off with a straight red Virginia, either McCraney's Red Ripon, which I stockpiled. There's a couple of the Sutliff. There's like one of the Sutliff crumble cakes. It's a straight red that I like. The Carolina Red Flake straight. There's a couple others that are not limited. So just look for, just a straight red Virginia and you'll see what I like. I only like those in the morning because and this goes to the other part of it, day versus nighttime smoking. As the day goes on, your palate gets coated and gets more worn out. So you need more intense flavors, bigger flavors, stronger flavors. So just kind of think about in the realm of food. If you got up in the morning and you ate a big, thick steak and a big red Bordeaux wine, your palate would be inundated all day long with that strength. Those intense flavors. So somewhere around noon or 1 o'clock or so, I switch to a Virginia Perique. And this is where the lighter versus the heavier Virginia Periques come in. It has a little bit to do with the blend that they're sitting in. So, more Virginias versus Burleys. There's some dark fired or dark leaf in Escudo that makes it a little more intense to me. And then it has to do with the quantity of Perique. So between what you're going to hear Pear talk about shortly, between 5 to 8% is normal. As you go into more intense ones, you might be up to 12 or 15%. So you want to, again, you're building that palate up, not hitting it hard in the morning and then going in the opposite direction. It's the same thing with English blends. If you look at the Dunhill blends, early morning pipe is lighter in Latakia and has more orientals in it that are more delicate. And then you get to 965, and that's kind of the medium amount of Latakia. And then Nightcap is the last blend of the day, and it's more Latakia. So you're building that palate scale. If you're an English blend smoker and you're looking at, you know, doing this wintertime versus summertime, well, wintertime you may end with Nightcap, and summertime you may end with 965 because the Latakia will get too intense for you. Doing this also means that you've got to figure out what is intense for you, and you've got to try it through your own path. There is no right or wrong answer. It's just what works for you. So maybe you want just a blend like an amphora or some light aromatic that's almost more of a natural in the early part of the day. And then at night you want a light English. You don't want to put the English before the aromatic because the Latakia may cover up, you know, the Latakia on your palate during that day may cover up that the delicate nature of the lighter aromatic. So you're just kind of building this palate blend, and then you're adjusting it as the week, as the weather changes. Another example of, well, this is a problem that I've run into on a regular basis, is when you go from a humid climate to a dry climate. When you go from humidity in the summer of the southeast United States and you end up in the dry climate of the deserts of Las Vegas, well, things change. And then you got to figure out what works for you in the drier climates. You know, maybe you just want the medium Perique blend like I do. If I go to Vegas, I just bring my usual and that's it. You know, that's all I fight with. So it's a bunch of combinations of several factors, and then you have to find out how does it work for you, and then you have to modify it, because like with my straight Virginias, I only smoke those in very small bowls. I don't put those in the big pipes. And then my Virginia Periques, I put them in the medium-sized pipes, and then if I've got a really big pipe, I might put the heavy, the heavier Virginia Perique in that big pipe. So it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of discovering what works for you. When it comes to the aging factor, I believe that we are in it. You know, we've got a lot of great options right now. But I can tell you right now, I've been really impressed with several tobaccos, including the Carolina Red Flake with Perique that I've let age for about 2 years. The Sutliff Kringle Flake that I recently talked about that had about 2 or 3 years worth of age on it. The current editions of Escudo, I like them after about 2 or 3 or 4 years of just sitting in the tin. I don't like it if it goes any further because then I lose some of that intensity that I'm looking for. And again, that's just my experience, my personal preferences, and that's my opinion. And you've just got to work at all these options and see which way you like to go. It's all that quite simple. If you are taking a blend that is normally lower in moisture and you're taking it to Vegas with you, that dry air is going to dry it out even faster. So one thing I will do if I'm bringing another blend with me is I'll take something that comes that tends to open up out of the tin a little more moist. And then it'll dry down faster, or it'll dry down evenly. Some of the Cornell and Diehl blends, they tend to be packed with a little bit more moisture. Some of the Sutliff crumble cakes tend to have a little bit more moisture, especially in the middle of the cake. So I'll take those to Vegas. They'll dry down faster. All right, I hope that answered it doesn't really answer the question. It more sets the stage for you guys figuring out what works for you and getting you on your way. And remember, I just want to remind everybody, before the internet, my personal pipe smoking style, I really didn't nail it until about 2002, and that was after 6 years of almost daily pipe smoking. So go figure that. Yeah. Luckily, you guys nowadays, you have the internet to make it even faster. All right. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. And in just a moment, my conversation with Perry Jensen.
This is Internet Radio.
For over 150 years, Peterson has welcomed all pipe smokers. It's the preferred choice of the thinking man and the everyman alike, and our workshop too is a place of hospitality and warmth. Hi, I'm Glenn Whelan, and for me, Peterson is a family tradition I've known since my childhood. My dad, Tony Whelan Jr., worked at Peterson for 53 years and has been my home since 2003. From sweeping our factory on a Saturday morning, to managing our store, to now steering our international distribution, I've seen the craftsmanship poured into each Peterson pipe. It lives in Jason's discerning eye as he handcrafts our silver accents and in Wojciech's able hands as he carves our rustications. It abides in Willie's grading and in Warren's papering. Peterson has welcomed us as contributors to its legacy, and it's a welcome we always extend to you. Cade Mila Falje, 100,000 welcomes, wherever you come from, whosoever you be.
We're back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and if it sounds different to you, it's because I switched microphones from what I normally use, because sitting right here in my recording studio built outside of Orlando, Florida, is, he's my old friend, Per Jensen. Per, welcome to the show, welcome to the house, welcome to Florida.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's a pleasure to be here. And especially having you as guide in this beautiful area.
Yeah. A little too hot for you?
Don't mention the war.
The humid heat, yeah. The sunshine.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You saw the temperatures, what we have in Berlin.
Yeah.
And that is no way in the neighborhood of what you are having here.
No. It's much nicer here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry for you.
Well, don't be. Tomorrow I hop in the pool.
Okay. Yeah. That'll. But then you have to get out.
Yeah, I have. But
all right, so you were here for the Chicago Pipe Show.
Yes, I was.
And then you're stuck here because you also have a wedding that you're going to, and that'll all be over by the time this goes out, so people won't be able to crash the wedding, and you're not in the wedding either.
No, it's not me getting married. I'm already married, so, and by the way, picking up my wife tomorrow so we can attend the wedding, both of us, on Saturday. And that's in, I think I can reveal the city. It's going to be in Tampa.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, your wife worked indirectly with one of the cigar companies in Germany, right?
Yeah, my wife was, she was brand manager for pipe tobacco. And that is how I snatched her.
Yeah, well, or did she grab you? Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah, so. we are still arguing.
Yeah, who got who?
Who got who? Yeah.
All right. So, what was your Chicago? First of all, let's go over what was your impressions of the show. What were some of your favorite memories from the Chicago Pipe Show?
The first positive, very positive thing was just to get out of the airplane, get my suitcase, get on a bus, and then you were in the hotel. That was a brilliant thinking. So smooth. And the show itself, let me go back to the hotel. It was a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
They got lifts, and those were quick compared to other hotels I've been in. He didn't have to wait. It came automatically, immediately. The show itself, it's always good to see old friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wasn't here last year, so it's 2 years ago since I joined the Chicago show. And just meeting people and pick up talking like, we saw each other yesterday.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So did you arrive in Chicago on Thursday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So what was your, I guess Thursday was just your day to come in and get acclimated to the time change?
Yeah, that was what I call it's my jet lag day.
Yeah. And how did it work?
It worked. I had jet lag.
And then on Friday morning, you and Adam from the Get Piped podcast had a blending seminar that was pretty interesting. In fact, I sat in on the back of it. Talk us through what all you were showing and what the idea was with the blending seminar.
Well, Adam started out presenting a new blend he made. Mm-hmm. Where one of my blending components was included. And after Adam gave his speech, I went on presenting my blending tobaccos. And the thing I've done different from, I believe, everybody else making blending tobacco, that is I have made four very natural blends that are perfect to be mixed. Meaning, the casing is adjusted so you can mix it without getting an odd taste. Or you can choose to smoke them as they are. They are smokable blends.
So by casing adjusted, that means that you kind of, you matched, you tried to make them very similar or same in taste?
Yeah, use this, if we could more or less use the same ingredients in the casing. Mm-hmm. And some of the listeners here might know if they have bought two tins of tobacco from two different manufacturers and they try to mix them.
Yeah.
They get a very odd taste.
Yeah.
And that is very often either because the top flavor or the casing is going to fight each other.
I call that the water in the factory.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to avoid that. So I made four blends, smoked them as they are, straight out of the bag, or you can mix them, and that is where the magic occurs.
What are the four blends?
Well, to start with, I have 100% Virginia, straight Virginia, and it's a beautiful tobacco. And normally when you smoke Virginia, you say, well, Virginia bites, but not this one. It's... this lady, Virginia, is very nice. And she has been hot pressed, and that mellows out anything that could get aggressive in your mouth. And the next one is a burley, not a pure burley, but dominated burley blend. And that means we are above 60% in the burley content. And then I have mellowed out with a little bit Virginia. So okay. That is a Burley-inspired blend. And for those of you who love Burley, that could be the base of your blend that you're making yourself. If you like a little bit smoky note, I've made a dark-fired Kentucky. It's a little bit more bold as a Burley, and it has very clear smoky notes. So if you want something smoky, but not Latakia smoky, then you should go for the dark fired.
Yeah.
And the final one I called bold and strong.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. And that's a very beast. And that is because I used my experience from when I made the Rustica. So I included some Rustica here, mellowed it out with some air-cured Virginias, some flue-cured Virginias, and a little bit burley. So I got a smooth blend. But please don't be mistaken. When you smoke this, you'll feel it. And you'll probably sit and sweat like I do here in Florida, but my sweat is because of the heat. You will not be.
So these are the four that are kind of the base for you to start with.
Yeah, and then the fifth one, is an aromatic with a little bit sweet vanilla, mm-hmm. and on top of that, sweet fruit.
Okay.
So if you want an aromatic blend, you can mix some of that tobacco to the others. Or you can say, well, I like aromatics, but they have no power. I need an aromatic with power. Take the aromatic and mix in some bold and strong. And then you're going.
Yeah. And then you also brought along some other components that are, I guess, are not part of officially a part of your line, but are available from Sutliff.
Yeah. My concept is that the blends I'm bringing out, you should be able to smoke as they are. And if you take, for instance, Perique or Latakia, pure,
yeah.
It's the fewest who smoke that pure.
Yeah.
So I said, and that there's a lot of those tobaccos already on the market, so there was no reason for me to bring them.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we'll have more with Per, and we'll talk through what he did, you know, how you instructed people to play with them, and the wise advice of taking notes, right?
Oh, yeah, notes are very important.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
Take a look at your pipe rack. Are all those briars and mirrors constant companions in your rotation? Or are there some that you gravitate to more than others? Are there some that you simply don't smoke anymore? Through SmokingPipes.com's estate trade program, you can transform those underused pipes into immediate cash or store credit. Just send us your pipes and we'll unpack, inspect, and evaluate them based on extensive market research and over 20 years of experience. Then we'll contact you with a detailed offer for your choice of cash or store credit, valid on any items in our vast selection of pipes, tobacco, cigars, and accessories. If you're not happy with our quote, we'll return your pipes free of charge to domestic addresses. It's that simple. Join the thousands of Smoking Pipes customers who have benefited from this program and start your trade today by contacting us at 888-366-0345. That's 888-366-0345.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and joining me here at home is Per Jensen. All right, Per, so the seminar, you talked everybody kind of through these new blending tobaccos or blending bases, or I don't know. You've created a whole new category, so thanks for screwing with my head.
Yeah, well, I first described the tobacco for the attendees. And later on, I showed them just a couple of blends, what they can make very easily. I'm not saying it's going to be everybody's taste, but just an example. For instance, if you take the base in the Virginias, and you take some, let's say, 70% Virginia. You can add 20% Burley, and just to get a little bit smoky note and a little bit more power, add 10% dark-fired Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'll go the other way around to take the bold Kentucky. Dark-fired Kentucky, and mix it with bold and strong. Then you really have a powerhouse, but a powerhouse with taste. And that could be, for instance, 50-50. Or you could go 60 for the dark fired and 40 for the bold and strong. But that is a tobacco I recommend you eat and then you smoke.
Yeah, have food in your stomach first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you want to make an aromatic, I would say you go for 25% of the aromatics. You take 15% Burley and 60% Virginia. And this is only meant, and I only said that just to show that you can go in any direction you want. You can experiment and say, well, next time I blend, I would like a little bit more smoky note, or like a little bit stronger, or a little bit smoother, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you start tumbling around with the tobaccos. One thing is good. You can't go wrong. No matter what you do, you have something smokable.
So, and then the part that I liked is that you also gave, there were scales that were measurable in ounces and in grams, and everybody could, you know, weigh out their components and then take notes, which is the important part that I mentioned before, because you said to make sure and, you know, call it blend A, write down what the combination was, and then try it, and then try version B, blending with a slight modification depending on which way you wanted to go.
Yeah, and when you have, let's say you make a new blend, you write it down. When you smoke it, then try to describe it and write the description to the blend. So when you're at blend number 10, you can go back to blend number 1 and read what was your impression of that. The notes are extremely important, because otherwise you end up one day with a blend where you say, this is fantastic. And then you can't remember what you've done.
Yeah, or how you got there.
Yeah, so it's a matter of getting to where you like your to have your own taste, but the road to get there is as important.
Did you suggest that they blend in a certain size, like maybe 50 grams or 1 ounce or 100 grams?
I never go below 100 gram. I could go in 50 gram, but if you're only using small percentages of one of the tobaccos, it's very difficult to get them mixed.
Yeah.
So therefore, I go as a minimum for 400 gram.
Yeah, and that gives you enough parts of each one to get the essentials of each one to come through.
Yeah, and let's say we are going for a blend and we find out, oh, this is too strong. What you do next, just to smoke the tobacco, is to mix in some Virginia so you mellow it out. So you can adjust all the way, both forward and backwards.
Yep. How long do you suggest that somebody let a blend sit in a pouch or, you know, give it a chance to marry? How many days?
I would say in what was used at McBaron was 5 days. That was especially important for the aromatics, but also the very natural with only a little bit casing. They need to marry. So I would leave it in a jar or in a tin for 5 days.
Okay.
And so then you can smoke it.
Yeah. So the options are endless. If you were going to add a Latakia or a Perique, how much might you use?
Well, again, that depends on the smoker.
Yeah.
But with Perique, my magic number is 5. 5% Perique. Then you can taste the Perique. It's not overwhelming anything. I know that there are guys that are smoking blends with much more.
Yes.
But for the average Virginia Perique, I would say 5%. Or at least start with that. You can always mix in more. That's the easy part. With Latakia, I would say for a very light Latakia, 10 to 15%. For medium, you go to 25. And for a very strong Latakia, you are around about 50%.
Wow.
But then you are living alone because you have no wife.
When you smoke, birds fall out of the sky above you.
I promise you that.
Yeah. Oh.
Nobody is in doubt of what you're smoking.
Yeah. And the one advice that I will give to people when you're blending with Perique and with Latakia, they tend to be drier than the base components. So when you put in 3 or 4%, you're actually almost 6 or 7 or 8%. Because of the weight. And after that 5 days, that moisture will move over into the Perique.
So. Yeah. And also when you start blending, start lower. It's easier to add something than to remove something.
Yeah.
So start low.
Yeah. When you're working on a on a blend that you're making, how much tobacco are you throwing away on average?
Well, in my McBaron's times, we were making batches of 50 kilo. And then we smoked it and said, nope, garbage bin.
So for us Americans, 50 kilos, that's times 2.2. So we're talking about 120 pounds.
Yeah. And that was just because our machinery couldn't make any smaller. And of course, with flakes, it took a long time because every correction, we have to blend again, we have to press again, we have to store again, and then we have to cut it.
Yeah.
And that was a period of 30 to 45 days.
Yeah. So I will admit I was very proud of myself with the blends I made, except I lost them somewhere. But I pressed the blends while I was, well, I put them on the seat and I sat on them.
Well, that is an alternative form for pressing.
Yes. And if it's warm outside, it's hot pressing.
It's hot pressing. Exactly. Oh, that must be perfect down here in Florida.
hot steam pressing.
Yeah. Or you could use, I have one at home, this, what do you call it? Spaghetti press.
Yeah.
The round one. And you make something that looks like an ice hockey puck. It's very funny. It's very hard, and you need a knife to cut it, but it gives another result.
So there is ways to make your own flakes at home.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah, and the other thing that I was very happy with was Sutliff had brought some of their other flavors, some of their other, you know, just simple flavored aromatics, and I added just like 2 or 3% of their coffee flavor to one of my blends, and just like the way it added a little sweetness to it.
Yeah, and that is, if you take an aromatic, and especially a high aromatic, be careful how much you mix in.
Yeah,
because otherwise it takes over the taste.
Yeah, and again, you can always add more. It's really hard to pick out the little aromatic pieces or the you know, to cut it back, so you just end up throwing away that batch and trying again if you want to go lower.
Yeah, and don't do that.
Yeah,
but these four natural blends is my safety zone. When I start mixing a new tobacco, these four I always have in my back, in the back of my head, and I'm trying to use either all four or three or whatever as a basis for a new blend. Then I can start adding Kentucky, I can start adding Cavendish and so on. But these four, that is my basis, my security.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great place to start. Are those available now?
Well, they probably will be in a couple of weeks.
Okay. And they're in 1 pound bags?
Only in 1 pound bags.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to blend 100 gram tin or 50 gram tin, well, blending is very quickly over.
Yeah, and 100 grams, the conversion, it's like 3.56 ounces. So if you're, you know, if you get 2 or 3 pounds and you're mixing and working and playing and having fun and you're trying stuff, you're going to go through that pretty quick.
Yeah, and you can just take the tobacco from the pouches and put them in jars.
Yeah. Do you suggest that everybody smoke each one of them straight first so that they can understand what they taste like?
Well, before start blending, I would recommend that, because you need to know what is the properties of this specific tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can add and say, okay, this is a very strong one. I need to loosen it up, and then you start playing with adding Virginias, perhaps a little bit Burley. That is a way to do, but smoke all of them before you start blending.
Yeah.
Have at least one pipe.
Yeah, one pipe, and probably for a few of them, maybe a pipe that you're, maybe not your favorite pipe, because you might ghost it a little bit.
Yeah, and you need something that don't use your Latakia pipe.
Yeah.
Because then the only thing you taste is Latakia.
Yeah.
So you take a neutral tasting.
earlier today, Per and I were reminiscing about the days when we had to smoke tobaccos that we really didn't, you know, really weren't our favorite styles, but we had to taste test them and review them and help tweak them, and how miserable and how long and painful those days were.
Terrible times. Don't remember me. I had forgotten it.
Yeah. All right, so after the blending seminar, what was the, I guess on Friday you were pretty much done for the rest of the day work-wise.
Yeah, I was, but let me say this. I was very impressed how my concept was conceived.
Mm-hmm.
The most of the attendees, they grabbed it immediately.
Yeah.
And understood what I said. And that is big words coming from a Dane.
Yeah.
But they understood it. What to do? They could smoke it as it was, or they could mix it.
Yeah, they understood a Dane who lives in Germany and speaks English as a third language.
Yeah, and thinks in German. That's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, well, at least you like bratwurst now.
Yeah. Well, you have to love them.
Yeah. Saturday, what were you doing at the show all day?
Well, I was at the Sutcliffe table explaining about the blending tobaccos. And, telling the concept over and over again. And I was amazed that they understood it that quick.
Were you guys selling selling samples or
no? We had Sutcliffe have made 80 packs.
Okay.
Of in each pack was 1 ounce of tobacco, one of each of the five, and that was sold for $5. And we were sold out, I think, at 2 o'clock Saturday.
Wow. So then you were done on 2 o'clock on Saturday for the rest of the show.
Yeah, and the only thing I could do was talk.
Uh oh.
And that's no substitute.
Well, that's also painful.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
No, I had many good conversations, and also a lot of people told me their experience with blending, and that was not the best ones. that was mixing 2-3 different kind of tobaccos and hoping it would taste just a little bit good.
Yeah, and listen, if you're trying stuff at home and you think that you want to add a little bit of something, add less than you think and then try a little bit more. Because again, when you talk about like the blend that I made, I think I made 25 or 30 grams of it, and I added just a little bit of that coffee flavored tobacco to it, maybe. I think I added about 2 grams to it, and then I let it sit for a half a day, and it really did change the entire nature of the blend.
Yeah, well, if you have a much top flavor in a blend, that will take over.
Yeah.
But again, the basic is smokable.
Yeah. How did you find the entire show?
I found it good. I think the organization is either I'm getting old and can't remember, but I think it was the organization was better than for 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
that was a nice thing.
Were you able to go to any of the other seminars?
No, unfortunately not. I heard you had one.
Yeah, I had one. That was the worst one. Because I ran it.
Come on.
Yeah. How was Sunday?
Sunday was, that was a bit quiet. First of all, I think a lot of the guys had been partying Saturday, so they slept a little bit longer. Some of have already departed. And Sunday at 12 and 12 to 3, that was the other guys having tables walking around.
Yeah. I came home on Sunday evening. How was the smoking tent Sunday night? Because Friday and Saturday night was hard to get a seat in.
Yeah, well, Sunday night you could get a seat, but there was still a good crowd. Let's say the tent was three-quarter filled.
Yeah, wow.
And that was nice.
And on Sunday, the weather had gotten much better, too.
Oh, yeah. Hotter.
Yeah. All right, now let's talk about something very important, which we haven't discussed before that. Would you like to talk about your day at Disney's Hollywood Studios to see all the Star Wars stuff?
Oh, how much time do we have?
About 3 minutes, and I'll cut you off.
Yeah, okay. Well, Brian took me to the Hollywood Studios at Disney World, and I'm a big Star Wars fan, so of course we have to go in that area. And I can only say to those of you who like Star Wars and haven't seen it, that was an experience. We got into three rides, each of them very special. And when you're sitting there, you just forget everything. You are there. You are on the spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it with words. But I came out with one big smile and was ready to take one more tour.
It's possible that I might have seen a grown Danish man starting to tear up when he first saw the full-size Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah. My small baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a little bit later, we saw one of the crew members, Chewie.
Yeah.
And I was excited, but the next thought that came into my mind was, the guy in that suit, how does he survive this heat? But I was, Brian got me back to Earth and say, well, they're only in there for 20 minutes, and then they're relieved.
Yeah, and we got yelled at by some stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're nasty guys.
Yeah, and then we had blue milk.
Oh, yeah.
So that was nice and refreshing.
Yeah, that's coming from a diary country like Denmark. Blue milk is all over.
All right, what's coming up tobacco-wise from Per Jensen now that he's on his own and doesn't have to worry about what a big corporation board tells you to do?
Well, back at my time with McBaron, I had a lot of ideas and the most of them that was a no from the management. So I'm digging some of those out and are working on two lines now. When they will be ready, I don't know. But exciting it's going to be. And not only for United States, but I also have lines that goes to Switzerland and Far East.
Ooh. So Per Jensen in China.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Ooh. When will we see you back here in the U.S.? When will people have a chance to meet you again?
Well, next time I'll try to get in. That will be in October for your show, Brian.
Okay, so we'll see you in Vegas.
I'll be in Vegas, yes.
It will not be as humid in Vegas as it is here.
No, I am so pleased.
I think we could have ended the Cold War if we brought all the communists to Florida in the spring.
No, nobody wants to do anything here.
They would have melted.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Per, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for hanging out with me this week. And, you know, always fun to see you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. And thanks for your hospitality.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
A Savinelli pipe is a testament to a long legacy, fortified by well-worn hands and destined to be enjoyed for generations. For over 150 years, Savinelli has been dedicated to sourcing the world's finest briar, committed to pushing the boundaries of pipe design, and devoted to the tradition of Italian pipe making. Savinelli is more than a mark. They're a way to help you make your mark. And like you, there can only be one Savinelli.
This is Internet Radio.
And we are back, and it's always fun hanging out with Pear and talking tobacco, sitting and smoking. And although I think the day of walking around Disney World almost killed him, but came close. I tried, didn't work. Oh well. All right, for music. So James sent this in, and he says, "Hello, Brian. Here's a song by J.J. Gray and Mofro called Rooster." So I listened to that, and then he said, James also said, "This guy is full of funk, blues, and soul. Makes me wish I was in my favorite city, New Orleans. He can really get down on that harmonica in some of his other songs. He is from Florida, your new place of residence." So I started digging through some of his other songs, and I found this one, and I really like this one. It's called Everything is a Song by J.J. Gray and Mofro, M-O-F-R-O.
I just heard those angels say, so many voices all arranged in one big harmony.
Love the sentiment of the song, and then some of his other stuff's kind of funky and fun, and yeah, check him out. J.J. Gray, G-R-E-Y, and Mofro.
You've got some mail.
Lots to get caught up on in the mailbag, and remember, comments and questions can be emailed to me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, brian@pipesmagazine.com, or you can post on Pipes Magazine Radio, on the Pipes Magazine page of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show on, yeah, you know what I mean, just like Dino does every week. Dino says, "Nice review of our show. Thanks for the shout-outs. However, Al and I didn't get to present our Sherlock Holmes seminar, hopefully next year. Boo. Actually, that's good. I'm glad they saved some stuff for next year because there was a lot of seminars. And then he goes on to say, it was great to hear from Pete about the success of the Muletown show. His review of the show and comparing it to the larger shows in which he's involved, including how he prepares for a show, is both interesting and heartening. Wawa Watson's Crybaby was so wonderfully funky. Thanks. Brian, you two are now a Papuli. Mazel tov, beautiful photo. And yes, it was great to spend time with you in Chicago. That was a very nice dedication to Craig. May his memory be eternal. Thanks for a totally entertaining show, Dino. And then Casey Ghost says, a really good show. The Chicago show was fabulous as usual. I saw lots of pictures and they all looked great. For some reason, nobody had a thing to say about Craig Cobain's passing. How quickly everyone forgets. I will correct that. At the dinner on Saturday night, there was a moment of silence for Craig. So there was a mention. Casey Ghost goes on to say, I appreciated your announcement of the recipients of the Masters of Pipes and Doctors of Pipes. I agree that Steve Norris was a worthy recipient. Good interview with Pete Prevost. He has been one busy guy the last few months. Muletown has really stepped up its place as a quality pipe show with Briarworks leading the way. Brian, congratulations on becoming a grandfather. It's the best job in the world. You are about to find out why. I have often said if I'd known what it meant to be a grandparent, I would have skipped the middleman. Yeah. Didn't care for Wawa's song much. I would greatly prefer it if I never heard him again. There you go. And a very nice tribute you did for Craig Cobain at the end of the show. Thank you. Let's see. Also, Lord of the Pipe Ring says, sounds like the Chicago show was a blast. Wish I could have been there. Loved hearing from Pete. He's a great guy and top-notch carver. Glad Briarworks is thriving. I was rooting for Pete in the Battle of the Briar. Congratulations on becoming a grandpa. Did you have a special smoke the day she was born? Keep up the great work. So Pete won the... So there was a judging of it, and Pete came in third, and then there was the People's Choice Awards, and Pete came in first. So, as usual, whatever the judges say is opposite. And no, I didn't have a special smoke the day she was born. It was just kind of a chaotic day, so I was just happy to sit down and smoke at the end of it. Arrow English says, Pete, what a man. Hearing him talk about the PCA and how Briarworks handles sales makes me want to start a brick and mortar. He's definitely in my top two of guys in the pipe industry, along with Pear. Also, congrats, G Puffy. Yeah, thanks. And you just got to hear Pear. So there you go. And then Tad wrote me and he said, hello, Brian. Loved your past couple of shows. I actually loved them all, leading into and following up the Chicago Pipe Show. Wonderful interviews, information, and music. Sorry I didn't say hi at the show. I saw you a couple times seated with someone outside the show floor in the hallway. A number of other people had interrupted your conversation. I didn't want to. Never saw you after that before I headed back to Michigan. Going to try to put Vegas on my calendar this year. Sounds like things are working out well in the move to Florida. Being near the grandchild and hopefully in the future grandchildren is a wonderful thing. Kimber and I were very involved with our grandkids' growth. I couldn't imagine any other way. Congratulations. Thanks for all you do for the pipe community, the podcast especially. It's the best out there. Well, thank you. And two things. If you ever see me, feel free to interrupt because I'm not doing anything that's too important for anybody to interrupt. And secondly, with the Vegas Pipe Show, go to VegasPipeShow.com. Remember, we have a limited amount of hotel rooms and a limited amount of tables. Once they're sold, they're sold, and we'll start waiting lists. If you can't get into the hotel, then you have to Uber or taxi or whatever back and forth. Next, from Larry. Larry says, dear Brian, first let me speculate as to whether we may be related. My mother's maiden name was Levine. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. Second, let me introduce myself. I live in the Pacific Northwest, though originally from New Jersey, with my wife of 53 years and my son and daughter who live nearby. I've also been a pipe smoker for 58 years and a longtime listener of your podcast. Third, let me say I hope you're getting settled in your new home in Florida and that you're enjoying being near family in Disney World. Also, congratulations, Grandpa. Thank you. Finally, let me relate my Disney World story. I've only been there 3 times, the last of which was 1983. At that time, we took our kids, who were only 2 and 3 years old, and visited my folks who had retired in Florida. This was just before Christmas, and while we had taken our winter coats with us from chilly Seattle, we left them at my folks' house when we ventured to Orlando. Hey, it's Florida, right? The weather was fine for our first day at the park, but that night a cold front moved in. We were awakened at about 2 a.m. by the hotel's smoke alarm going off. I called the desk and was told there was no fire. It seems that the room heaters would get dusty since they were rarely used and had caused the alarms. Yeah. The next day we went back to Disney World with the temperature at 19 degrees. My wife and I only had windbreakers, so we bundled up our kids and got them knit caps at the park and tried to stay in the still cold sunshine as much as possible. One of my retirement projects is scanning the thousands of slides and negatives I've come across our pictures of that trip, which is what brought them this to mind. Thanks for your work in putting out the podcast. Thanks to the many interesting guests you've had on the show. Thanks also for expanding my musical tastes with some of the selections you've played. Some of them anyway, Larry. Thanks, Larry. Yeah, that's funny. I do remember 20 years or so ago, I was down here and there was snow. It was snowing here in Orlando, and the people were going crazy because it was snowing in Orlando. Anyway, just some funny reminiscence. Steven writes, "Hi, Brian. Steve from Alberta, Canada here. First, a very warm congratulations to you and your family. The addition of a new granddaughter brought warm feelings to my heart. Your son is lucky to have a set of parents that will move across state lines to be with them while starting up his new adventure. My hat is tipped towards Florida." Thank you. Pete's interview was excellent and makes me wish I bought a 10th anniversary Zulu pipe a year ago now. I think Dino's comment from last week about Jason Isbell's song was brilliant. An achingly beautiful love song. My wife and I were lucky to see Jason and his band, the 400 Unit, last year in Edmonton while he was on tour, and we have been obsessed ever since. Highly recommend to anybody who cares about good music and good storytelling. And then he gave us a music selection, and then he said, "Cheers, and thank you for sharing this hobby with the world. Your show is truly something I look forward to each week, Steve." Oh, Steve, you're welcome, and maybe I can send some warm Florida up to Alberta. Yeah, won't happen. And then Brian Wilson, not that Brian Wilson, our pipe-smoking Brian Wilson, said, "Enjoyed hearing the last show. Your rant about speed limits is right on. Here in southern Illinois, we have stretches of road that change speed limit multiple times in a relatively short span. This is generally where you get pulled over for not immediately adjusting to whatever the next sign reads. Hope all is well, Brian." Yeah, thanks. Yeah, some small towns make their living off of people not seeing that sign that says you've gone from 55 down to 30. Oops. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. And in just a moment, rant time.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Reeves, head blender of Cornell and Deal. We know pipe smoking is a personal journey. That's why our small team of blending and production experts take a personal approach in every step, preparing tobacco products just for you. We source top quality leaf through the personal connections we've made around the world, hand blend that leaf, and carefully package each tin. Each product, from special releases like our small batch line, to our most popular mixtures like Autumn Evening, are made right here in South Carolina by professionals dedicated to providing the finest of smoking experiences. Lighting up a pipe is an exploration through evolving flavors, thoughts, memories, and even dreams. From our hands to yours, Cornell and Deal tobaccos are your passport for that voyage, provided by people who, like you, value the journey.
There's nothing quite like fishing at dawn, or smoking my genuine Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe, an American legend since 1869. It's the coolest, smoothest pipe I've ever owned. Check them out at corncobpipe.com.
I am about to say something that's going to be unpopular in some parts of the tobacco industry. Yeah, I'm going to say something that's going to be unpopular, but it stems from a conversation that that Per and I were having, and we were reminiscing of all some of the great crazy packaging ideas that happened in the pipe tobacco world in the past 20-something years since we've been involved. The one that came up first in mind was McBaron's The Cube. Remember The Cube? Yeah, it was a square box with a plastic bag of tobacco in it. And it made me think, you know, over my time, every time I've seen a cigar company do a special packaging or a special limited edition in a humidor or whatever, I've thought, well, that'd be nice, except what do I do with the other humidor after a while? And then I started thinking, wait a second, I've fallen sucker to this when I go out shopping in, you know, at the liquor store, or as some people would call it, the package store. And I see a deal where you buy a bottle of whatever and you get two glasses free, or you get a decanter free, or you get an ice bucket for free. And then I thought, wait a second, I've fallen to this too when I've been out shopping for the wife for presents, and you go out and the perfume comes with a free zipper toiletry bag, and or a free atomizer, a free spritzer thing, or do whatever that I didn't know any woman ever needed. And then I realized, all right, so in this discussion that we're having, I realized if they've got to do a special packaging around it and they've got to offer something for free, here's the unpopular statement. It's probably shit in the package. Yeah. So you don't see any top-ranked whatever liquors. You know, you don't see Blanton's or anything fancy like that doing a special cup giveaway, do you? No. So just focus on the product that you're buying. Make sure you buy product that you like and get it and bring it home and use it and stop with all the free crap. Just gets in the way. And then when you move, you got to throw away a bunch of it. And oh boy, yeah. There you go. All right. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Notice this show does not come with a free glass or a free pipe cleaner sleeve or anything like that. Keep those iTunes ratings and reviews and Spotify ratings and questions or whatever that you do over there on Spotify. Keep those coming. Thank you very much to Pear for joining me. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.
Cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
In other news, a Florida man was mauled by a cocaine bear and killed by meth head chickens.